If you've been in ministry or you've been in church life for any number of years, there's a pendulum. And for me, I'm now 63, and I've been a Christian for 33 of those years. And I've seen the pendulum move from being crazy to being kind of lukewarm. And I want us to, there was a word on my heart, and I had someone send me a message the other day, and they said, say what God has said. And then he's like, easy to say this one. Don't worry about the repercussions. God will take care of it. But I want us to come back to the center of God's plan and purpose and be a church that would realize that he is in control. What he did then, he can do now. So this is a message that I want to share, carrying on from last time. If you're a visitor, I trust that you'll be blessed. I trust that you will be blessed so that you can be a blessing. I trust that you will take something away that you can say, yes, Lord, that's me. Yes, Lord, I can stand upon your word. Because how many of you know that there's times where we walk through tough times? We walk through tough times. You know, for me, I don't want to be too familiar because all of my children are still alive, thankfully. But they could listen at some point to what I have to say. And I'm not a stranger to bereavement. I lost three very close members of my family by the time I was 11 years old, including my father. And that helps to shape who you are in a negative way until you grab hold of what God has done in our lives, and then it can turn into a positive way. I know what it is to sit in the back of an ambulance where they're questioning whether they go and pump out your stomach or not. I know what it is to go through these journeys, but I also know what it is to stand upon the rock that does not shift. They're not sinking sand. It's something that is solid. So I want to share portions of scripture with you, not because I'm triumphant, but I stand because he stands. I can move forward because he's enabled me to. So I don't want to come with an answer to a question and make it glib and say, it doesn't matter what happened in your life, just move on. It does matter. It needs to be dealt with and enable the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us, wherever you are on your journey. And I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. So I want to bring this portion of script, not this portion of scripture, this portion of scripture. I want to bring this portion of scripture, and it's the story about David going to Ziklag. Now, I don't want to read it all out because of time, and I don't want to have to rush because I believe this is an important message. And I will challenge us that if God speaks to you, let him speak to you. Listen to what he has to say and let him do some healing in your life today, because by listening to what God said to me, he did some healing in my life. Let me just tell you a story before we go any further. I don't normally share my life stories during the sermon, but I never cried from the age of 11 till the age of 30-ish. I didn't shed a tear because I grew up very fast. And as I said, my father died and I just couldn't get the tears out. I became a Christian at the age of 30, and between 30 and 31, there's people praying for me, and I didn't know, and there was a message that the minister had given, and he gave an appeal out for people to come forward for prayer, and all I'm going to say, it was for women's problems. I went forward, and as I went forward, he looked at me, and he said, what are you doing here? I said, I just want what God wants for me. So as he prayed for me, I fell on the floor, which is something I've never done, and I shouted at the top of my voice, which is something I've never done in church, and this is what I said, I want my dad back. And I had a fight with God there and then. I want my dad back. How can you take my father from me? If I get emotional, it's just the way it is. And I cried out to God. And in that moment of me pouring it out with frustration, God poured in his love. And something changed within me. It didn't change the fact that I had that aching in my heart, but it changed something in my spirit. And God can do the same for you. So when David, he found himself in a position where he was in the enemy's territory. He was serving a false god, if you like. And he was trying to persuade the people that he could fight for them. And many of the men said no, and they rejected him, and they sent him back. And as he went back to Ziklag, Ziklag was a place where all his family were, all his possessions were. Just imagine, that's your place of safety. And as he went back, he found it was destroyed. It was burnt. And he found that his wives and his children and everything that he held dear to him had been taken. And the scripture tells us that no one had been killed, nothing had been lost, it had just been stolen. And David was sorrowful. And so it's easy for us to say, you go to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from you. That's an easy thing to say, but how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. David gives us some pointers here. It says here in verse 4 that David and his men, they wept aloud. They had no strength left. That was how I was on the floor. I don't know if Nigel Lemma remembers it, but I do as if it was yesterday. I cried out and cried out until I couldn't cry anymore. And from that moment, God softened me. Well, here we have a situation with David and his men crying out till they had no strength. David's men got so distressed they wanted to stone someone. They wanted to blame someone else, and that's where we get in our lives. I wanted to blame God for what had been stolen from me, but it was nothing to do with God because I'm in the world, not of the world, and bad things happen to good people, don't they? There are times that we go into the enemy's camp and we wonder why we get our fingers burnt, and God says, come out, come out, I will sustain you, walk with me. And David found himself in that position where he had a choice. He was distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit. Have you ever been there? To be bitter in spirit, it's to have a broken heart. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And that's one of the first things I want to say to us. That if we're going to go into the enemy's camp, one, we need to recognize who the enemy is. Two, we need to recognize what's been stolen. And three, we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. Because if we go in our own strength, we'll fail. But if we go in his strength, then we will succeed. So whatever battle you're going through, and I don't know, then I pray that you will find strength in the Lord. And he went, and there's a whole process for David when he's inquiring of the Lord. And when you look at the priestly robes and you look at the ephod and what it represents, it's a garment that's been put on. And you go and you seek God. It's a representation, but you don't need to go to a priest. You can go directly to God. You don't need to come to me and say, Pastor, because you're a minister, will you pray for me? You can go directly to God. It's good for us to pray with each other, isn't it? But you don't need to. The truth is of God's word that you can go directly. How do I know that? Because when he hung on a cross and the curtain was torn, that was the curtain that separated us from him. Only the priest was allowed in. And he said, it's finished. And the curtain was torn apart and we were given access. So I want to tell you, if the enemy's stolen something from you, God's given you access to him to be strengthened, to be able to go back and take it back. He inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the raiding party? Will I overtake them? And of course, God said yes. And he went. And it says that he took back everything that was stolen from him. Not only did he take back everything that was stolen, he took back more. The enemy was boasting and bragging about what they'd done and all the spoils that they had. David went. He went in the strength of the Lord and he took back what had been stolen. And I want to suggest to you that there are areas of your life, as there are areas of my life, that I have come to be complacent about, and I've settled with it. I don't have a bad back, but I have a bad back. Well, it's just the way it is. No, it's not. We can take it back. When I get up in the morning, I feel dizzy. Well, it's just a part of getting old. Well, we can take that back, can't we? There are things that you'll never see the restoration of until you're in eternity. We know that. But in the meantime, there's seed, there's time, and there's harvest. So there's seed, there's time, and there's harvest. So if we plant the seed, we don't know what that time period will be, but there will be a harvest. Some of us will plant that seed of faith today, and we'll see it over a period of time in our lifetime. The harvest will come. Some of us will sow that seed of faith, and we won't see it until we're in eternity. But does it stop us from planting the seed? No. So I want to encourage you today that if there's something in your life that has been stolen from you, then take it back. And how we take it back is by following David's example. One, recognizing that we need to get out of the enemy's camp and in God's presence. And two, we need to recognize that God is the one that sustains us. As we ask, he will answer. But we need to ask. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. There's times where we look at scripture and it says, you haven't got it because you haven't asked for it. And then there's a portion of scripture that says, oh, don't worry about it. God knows what you need. Well, which one is it, Lord? Do I need to ask for it or just wait for you to give it to me? There are times for both. And I'm going to suggest to us, it doesn't matter how big or small the thing that the enemy's stolen from you is. Take it back. You know, make a decision to say, today is the day of salvation. If you're part of our church, you'll know that I like to use scripture a lot. I like us to know that thus saith the Lord. That is not just an opinion. It's what the Lord says in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Praise be to the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with all spiritual blessing in Christ. Let me say that again. Because you can forget it. You can pass over it. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He has blessed us. He's blessed you. Do you feel blessed? Sometimes, other times not. I spoke to someone today as they come in, and I know that they're going through a tough time. And I said, how are you? And she said, I'm blessed. Something's rubbing off, isn't it? Let's not look at our circumstances, but look at the Lord of our circumstances. There was a taxi driver that spoke to a minister. I'm trying to think of his name. It'll come to me in a moment. And he's saying, oh, so you're a minister. Will you pray for me? He said, no, pray for yourself. He said, you can pray. He said, well, how are you anyway? This J. John says to the taxi driver, how are you? He said, I'm okay under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under the circumstances? When you go to bed, you don't get under the mattress, you get on top. So don't get under the circumstances, get on top of the circumstances. Now I know, I get excited and I know that I like God's word, but it's true, isn't it? You know, as I'm saying, I'm not coming from someone who's not understood what it is to suffer. I do. But I also know what it is to sacrifice. And there's times we need to have a sacrifice of praise in order to come into God's presence. But when we read scripture, it says, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. In what? In Christ. For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight, in love. He predestined us, adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. You see, you're part of his family. You're part of his family. Can you imagine that relationship if you fully take hold of it? To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through the blood and the forgiveness of sins. You see, if you take nothing away today, if you're a Christian, you've had your sins forgiven. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor, what I've said. I don't need to. You don't understand what I've done. I don't need to. God says, keep short accounts with me. If you ask for forgiveness, I'll forgive you. Let's walk in the fullness of what God has already freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have the redemption. It says in verse 8 that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Lavished. You know what that word lavished means? It's not just, do you want a bit of ice cream? He gives you the whole tub. He lavishes it on you. But we don't feel lavished upon at times. Well, let me suggest it may be because we're walking in blindness. It says he purposed us in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach fulfillment, to bring unity to all things, heaven and on earth, under Christ. You see, just imagine the heavenlies. Imagine the angelic throne. Imagine God in his grace and his mercy and his power. And through Christ, he's come to bring unity, to bring the two one, so that we can have access to all that God has given us. So if the enemy's taken something from you, I want you to contemplate going back and getting it. whatever that means for you, whatever that circumstance is, that situation. Maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your peace, maybe it's your well-being, maybe it's your joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We hear it when we come to church, but then we leave church and the enemy comes and he robs us. He robs us of that seed. We can be in a ministry setting. We can be in the car where we're listening to worship and we're full of faith. And then we get out of the car and we're met with the world and straight away we're robbed. And I think we've become so familiar with the enemy stealing from us that we don't realise that it's stolen. I used to have a money box when I was younger, and I liked to save. And so I bought a toolbox about this big, and I was filling it up with any change that I had when I went to work. And I knew there was someone in my family that was stealing from me. But I couldn't prove it because there was so much in there that I couldn't notice it. I didn't notice it. I didn't weigh it. I didn't count it. They just stole from me. And I knew they stole from me. But I couldn't prove that. And there's times where the enemy's stealing from you, but you don't see it. We don't see it. We just accept it. Well, let's not accept it today. Let's say no, this far and no further. In John 13, now that I... Verse 14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. What's this got to do with going back and taking back what the enemy stole? And let's read on a bit further and see if we can glean something from it. It says, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, or verily, verily, listen, listen, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. You see, we're not greater than God, are we? He gave a simple illustration of washing someone's feet. And you think, well, that's easy. Well, try it. Try it. Well, I can wash my daughter's feet. I can wash my husband's feet. I can wash my wife's feet. And they go wash the neighbor's feet. Go wash the man or the woman that's been on the street. You see, it's difficult, isn't it? But if we have everything that God has given us, then we will know if it's the right thing to do, because he is greater than we are. You know, he is God and we are not. Yes? So I want to encourage you today to make a decision to go back and take what the enemy's stolen from you. Maybe I'm the only one that's been robbed. So this message is for me and anyone else that's listening or will listen online. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe it's just for one or two other people. But it's still a message that will encourage you. In Nehemiah 8 verse 10, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. They've just sat under the reading of the law. And they're being told, listen, this is a good thing. If you walk in the ways of the Lord, this is a good thing. Don't be downcast. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. But for some of us, we've had our strength stolen because we've had our joy stolen. And I know that because I know Christians. I know Christians. Sometimes we can fake it. You know, we get out of the car just after having a row with the children. It's the worst time, isn't it, parents? You know, everything's great until you go, right, let's get ready to go to church, and then all hell breaks loose. And you're in the car and you're saying quite calmly, and be quiet, children. And then you get out of the car with your children, dragging them behind you. Or maybe it's just me. And then you come into church and you, hello, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's been sapped while I was in the car. But we don't need to fake it, do we? We can say, no, Lord. See, joy is not happiness. It's not about being happy. Joy is something that happens on the inside, where we can say like the psalmist, all is well with my soul, even though I go through tough times. There's a picture of David going down and down and down in the oceans. And it says that he's being wrapped around with seaweed. Then he remembers his God. And as he calls out, God pulls him back. Let's take back what's been stolen from us. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. It might be something as simple as joy. Take it back. Let me encourage you to be all that God has called you to be. In John 14, verse 25, "All this I have spoken while still with you," Jesus says, "but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." But there are times we are afraid. There are times we are troubled. There are times where we don't have that peace. Did God say that he would give you peace? He did. Take it back. Take it back. Find that situation where you're zigzag, where you can say, "No, I'm not having this. I'm going to the enemy's camp and I'm taking back what he's stolen from me." And one of the other things we need to remember, it's the enemy. God doesn't steal from you. God doesn't take away from you. God gives. I come to bless. He's coming back to judge. But until that happens, he's coming back to bring life and life in all its fullness. So take back the peace that's been stolen from you. But you need to recognize that it's been taken. And then you need to go and get it. And you get it by using the principle that David did. He came before the Lord and he said, "Father, strengthen me. Father, encourage me. Father, speak to me." And as you open up the pages of Scripture, Scripture is alive, it says, doesn't it? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll speak to you. Let me give you a story of a man who lived until he was 100, and in his, 70s, he was convinced he was going to die. He was convinced he was going to die, and in his heart and in his spirit, he'd given up. He'd given up and life wasn't worth living. And as I went into his house, his wife would say to me, "Andrew, I don't know what to do. He is dwindling away." And I went into his bedroom. And it doesn't mean that there was anything special within me, but there was something special within God's word. Let me explain. He was being robbed of his peace. He was being robbed of his health. He was being robbed of his inheritance. God had given him an inheritance and he was being robbed of it. And as he laid in his bed, getting paler and paler, not eating, not drinking, but convinced that something he heard on the radio was for him, and he'd got this disease and it was going to take him out. And as he said to me, "Andrew, will you look after?" And then he named his wife. And I looked at this man, didn't know what to do. He'd had ministry, people had prayed with him. I didn't know what to do. All I knew that is he believed he was dying. And as I looked at this man, I just started to well up and cry. And he looked back at me and he says, "Andrew, you believe me, don't you?" And I said, "I believe you believe that you're going to die." And I didn't know what to do. I hadn't heard this message. All I could do was scramble for my Bible. And I'm just going, "God..." And you have to be careful when you do this one, because it could go and hang yourself. But I opened up the Bible and it was David saying, "I serve the Lord. What can man do to me?" And I read this over this man and instantly he cried out for his wife and he said, "Get me a pen." He wrote down that scripture. He got out of bed and he went from 70 to 100. Is that right? You see, he had an inheritance and it was being robbed. It was being robbed. And you might not see it, but someone else will. Let them weep over you. Let them hug you. Let them encourage you. Let them speak life into your dead situation so that you can stand there and say, "Lord, I can't do this." And one will hold your hand up on the right and one will hold your hand up on the left. And they will say to you, "The battle belongs to the Lord. Just keep praising him." You know, as we raise our arms, it is like a funnel and God pours in. Have you been robbed of your peace? Well, get it back. Make a decision today. "I will." And it's not about how we feel, is it? You know, when we could all be psychologists and we say to someone, "So how does that make you feel?" "Well, how do you think it makes me feel? I am cross. I am angry. I'm disappointed." God can penetrate into those dark areas. He can soothe. We can pray. He's the one that does the work. So let's go to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us. You see, I'm part of a family that, like I said, my grandmother died when I was young, my grandfather died when I was young, my father died when I was young, my mother died when I was young. And I could look at it and say, well, maybe that's me. And every time I got a headache, have I got a brain tumour? Am I going to die prematurely? And then I grabbed hold of scripture and said, no, I'm a new creation. No more in condemnation. That's my old life. This is my new life. You see, part of your inheritance is you're a new creation, yes? If you're a Christian, that's a follower of Christ, you've been born again into his family, yes? You're no longer part of the old DNA. You're part of the new DNA. You're covered by his blood. Why is that important? I'm glad you asked. Because when the enemy comes in to sow that doubt, well, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. What does the Bible say? You are worthy. You're justified, sanctified. Do you know what that means? Just as if I didn't sin. You're sanctified, set apart. You're going from glory to what? Glory. You're part of the royal priesthood. You see, you're part of a new line. Don't let the enemy steal your inheritance. Go back and take it. It says in Job 2, listen to this. When I read Job, and it was difficult to go through Job when I first started reading scripture or listening to scripture. But there was something that really fascinated me and it excited me. I'm going to share it with you. I hope you get this. Listen to this. If you don't know the story of Job, read it. Read it. Have you considered my servant Job? And then Satan comes and he steals and robs, and God lets it happen. His wife said to him, his wife said to Job, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Job replied. And he's gone through boils and sores and anguish and loss to this point. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In this, Job did not sin in what he said. I can't go into detail because it's not my story to tell. But my wife, Susan, had gone through some tough times and some life-threatening circumstances and situations. But in all of her trouble, she never blamed God. And that's a gift at times. And there are people, and I did it, I blamed God for stealing my dad. And then I realized it wasn't God. And then this portion of scripture I'm going to read to you next gave me hope. Let me read it to you. I just hope you see this. It's in Job. It's in Job 42. And it's starting at verse 12. Job had gone through all this turmoil in his life. It's like a whirlwind. Everything had been taken from him. And he sat there in boils and scabs and his skin falling off. Sorry to be graphic, but that's just the way the Bible is. And he didn't curse God. And there came a point where his friends came around him and said, you must have been sinning for this to happen. How many times do people get ill? They get unwell. They have suffering in their lives and other people think they must be in sin. You must be in sin because you walk with a limp. You must be in sin because your finances aren't going well. Have they forgot there's an enemy that comes to rob, steal and destroy? And there's times where he sneaks in to the bank account. He sneaks into that pot of money and just helps himself. And we don't realize that's even gone. He comes in and he takes our relationships and we're not even aware of it. He comes in and he steals our joy and our peace. He steals our inheritance. And what do we do at times? We let him. Well, today, let's make a decision that no, we're going to take it back. Job understood this. After all his friends had deserted him and God had seen his integrity, it says in verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. Now I want you to go back and read this. It says he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels. God gave him a double portion. He gave him back twice as much as he lost. When you look through Isaiah 61, it says that my people will have a double portion in their land. God wants to give us a double portion of blessing. What the enemy's taken, he wants to give back. He wants to give an abundance. Just like David, when he went into the enemy's camp, he didn't just take what he had, he took everything. He had more at the end than he had at the beginning, just as this man did. But that's not the bit I got excited about. It goes on, it says here in 14. Remember, he had twice as much. He was given twice as much as what he had before. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Why does that excite me? Think about it. He had 14,000 sheep. He only had 7,000 sheep. So for God to give him double, it had to be 14, yes? Yeah? He originally had 7 sons. So it should be that God gave him 14 sons. He originally had 3 daughters, so it should be that he gave him 6 daughters, yes? When an animal, sorry, any pet lovers, I'm sorry about this as a disclaimer. When an animal dies, I suggest it dies. But when a child or an adult who's in the kingdom passes away, it's still there in eternity, isn't it? You see, his children, his daughters and his sons, they were still alive. So God gave him twice as much by giving him the same. So I want to suggest, I don't know where my father was on his journey. I know that he had a faith, but I don't know if he'll be in eternity. But there's a chance he could be. So maybe I've not lost my mother and my father. Maybe I will meet them again. So that portion of scripture excites me. So if, like Job, you've had things stolen from you, don't curse God. Curse the enemy. Go back and take what God has inherited for you. In Matthew 18, and I'm coming to a close, but Matthew 18, verse 24, where 2 or 3 gather in my name, there I am with them. Now, this is an important portion of scripture because we say in church life that we're a family, yes? We're a family. Well, if we're a family, we should support one another in the good and the ugly times. The good, the bad, and the indifferent times. We should stand with each other. If we're Christians, we should hold each other's hands up. We should say, God has given me 2, you can have 1. You know, God has given me peace. Do you know what? You can't give peace to someone else if you haven't got it. So we need to take back what's been stolen. Only you know what that is. I don't know your lives, but you do. I know for me that I took my health back. I'd convinced myself that I was going to be like every other member of my family with diabetes, with rheumatoid arthritis, with a brain tumor, with cancer. I convinced myself that I was part of that line, and then I become a Christian and I read the pages of scripture where it says, I am a new creation. I put on the new self. I take off the old self. Do you know what? In that portion of scripture, there's something very powerful. I need to do something. I need to recognize that I was a sinner saved by grace. I need to recognize that I needed to say, Lord, forgive me. And he came in and he forgave me and he washed that part of my life. Does that mean that the enemy then leaves you alone? No. If you stop going to church as a Christian, he'll leave you alone. If you stop praying, he'll leave you alone. If you stop interacting with his people, he'll leave you alone. Why? Because we're on a highway to hell. You know, the Bible talks about it. We won't lose our salvation, but we'll have scorched trousers. It says, the silver, the gold, and the precious stones will survive, but the straw, the stubble, and the hay will be consumed. You know, God still loves you. But we can experience heaven on earth. And I believe as Christians we're being robbed. So the message that I find so difficult to communicate sometimes is that pendulum that swings. I don't want us to go so far over here that we become non-scriptural, non-biblical. I don't want us to go so far over there that we become passive and we allow the enemy to steal from us. I want us to be in that center place where we can say, yes, we're not just a hospital. We're a place where surgeons will be established. Other people will be able to pray for other people. Other people will say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's yours too. I hope I'm not the only one that get excited about God's word, but I want us to know that where two or three are gathered in his name, there I am, the Spirit of the Lord says. He's here with us. Are you having a tough time? Call upon him. Are you in a good place? Celebrate. Give him praise. You know, we don't have to all be in a bad place, do we, in order to give him praise? Not everybody is in that ship that's got a hole in the bottom. You know, we're constantly bailing ourselves out. Not everybody is in that position, are they? But sometimes we can find ourselves in that position. And God is a gracious God. So he's here with us today. And he wants to bring healing and wholeness. You know, when we believe in God's word, we can pray for others. You know, we had a message some time ago where when Jesus was healing people, there'd be times where he'd lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. There's times where he would just say the word and they'd recover. There'd be times where he'd spit in people's eyes after spitting in the mud and rubbing it. I don't suggest we do that. But he did, didn't he? He challenged people. There's times where he said to the blind man that came to him, "What do you want?" What would you say? Would you go, "What do you mean, what do I want? I'm blind." Well, we have not because we ask not. You know, there are times where we recognize there's a problem in our lives. We recognize there's a circumstance, a situation. We recognize that the enemy has come and stolen from us. And sometimes we'll let him because that's the easiest thing to do. Well, let's not have that anymore. Take it back. Take back your health, your wholeness, your well-being. Take back your inheritance. In my final scripture here in Romans 4, verse 18, it says this. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Against all hope, Abraham believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. But he was strengthened, and that word strengthened is the same word that was used when David strengthened himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord. When you look at this story here of Abraham, if he just looked at the natural, he wouldn't have walked in the supernatural, would he? If he just went, "There's no way God can use this." Have you ever been there? There's no way God can use. Now, I know that I can't sing, so I'm not going to join. I know there's things I can't do. But there's things that I think I can't do, but God knows I can do. And those are the things I need to push into. I'll never be able to. Yes, you can. You can do it. Allow me to strengthen you. So he was strengthened in his faith. And then he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God power to do what he had promised. Now here's a portion of scripture that we don't hear very often. Are you fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised? Are you? You see, if we say yes, we're going to set ourselves up for the next stage. If we say no, then you're doomed. Just as they say in Dad's Army, you're doomed. But if you say yes, you are fully persuaded that God can. Are you willing to lay hold of the promise that he's given you? The promise that he'll never leave you or forsake you. You see, I like to read scripture. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. See, his faith was credited to him as righteousness. The righteousness that we're talking about here is the right standing with God. You know, when we walk away from God's plans and purposes, We can walk back into God's plans and purposes by keeping that short account, by enabling him to allow us to be who he's called us to be, enabling ourselves to say, okay, Lord, what is it that's been stolen from me? Because there's parts of my life I'm not even aware of it. Just like me as a young man not being aware of what was stolen out of my money box. The enemy's come and robbed from you, and maybe you're not aware of it. So today, rather than rush into worship, and let's just take a few moments. And this is where I want that pendulum to come back. I want us to be a ministry that believe that God still ministers to his people. I want us to be a church that still stand on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. That we may be blown around, but he won't be. And if we have our feet on the solid rock, you know, I heard this saying many years ago. I'll try and do it justice. It was a man that had gone through turmoil in his life. And he said, everything was stripped away from me and I hit rock bottom. I hit rock bottom. And then someone came along and they prayed with me. And I realized that I needed to hit something solid before I could allow my life to be rebuilt. So sometimes we hit rock bottom. Sometimes we've fell that much. We've fallen that much that there's nowhere else to go. Well, once we hit something solid, we can then say, here I am, Lord. Build me, shape me, enable me, encourage me. But we need to be a people that will recognize that God is for us and not against us. So I'm going to pray. I'm not specifically going to ask anyone to come forward, but you can. I'll pray with you. I'm happy to do that. I'm unashamed of the gospel. I'm unashamed of the power of God. I know where two or three are gathered. There he is. I know there's times where God says, anoint with oil. There's times where he says, lay hands on the sick. There's times where we just come in agreement and say, Pastor, just pray with me. Believe with me. I'm open for that. Come forward at some point when I encourage you to. That's not a problem. But for the rest of us, where we are, can I ask you just to take a few moments while I'm speaking? Take a few moments to say, Lord, what is it that's been stolen from me? And then make that decision that you're going to go take it back. You're not going to be robbed of your health any longer. You're not going to be robbed of your purpose, your talent, your time, your resources. You're not going to be robbed of your peace and your joy. So let's take a few moments just to say, Lord, come and refresh me. Come and enable me. Lord, I know I have an enemy that has come to rob, steal, and destroy, but I also know I have an advocate that has come to bless me and restore. When the locusts were devastating the crops, God's promise was that he will restore what the locusts have stolen. So let restoration come in your heart. Seek the Lord while he may be found. To help some of us, I'm going to pray a prayer and ask you to say amen in faith. And whether to yourself, in your mind, in your heart, or out loud is up to you. But I want to lead you in a prayer and pray that God will do some business today. Father God, I thank you that I am your child. Lord, forgive me of any wrongdoing. As David would say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Father, I know that the devil has come to rob and steal from me. And Lord, I acknowledge that you are a restorer. So restore my faith, restore my joy, restore my peace, restore my health, restore my finances, restore my hope. Father God, I want to be who you've called me to be. I want you to strengthen me in the weak areas. I want you to speak to me in visions and dreams, Father God. Holy Spirit, you're the advocate. You come. I want you to draw alongside me and comfort me through my grief. I want you to enable me through my pain. I want to see you through my tears. Lord, I want you to come in the time of anguish. I want you to come in the time of lack. I want you to come in the time of plenty. Lord, I want to be someone else that can hold someone else's arms up. Lord, I want that peace for myself so I can give it away to someone else. Would you do that for me, Holy Spirit? I ask this in the name of Jesus. And all those that want to said, Amen. We're going to turn our camera off and we're going to ask our worship team to come back and we're going to continue allowing God to move. If you'd like me to pray with you, others to pray with you, then we'll pray with you. You don't need to tell us your story. You don't need to tell us what it is you've come forward for. If anyone comes forward, it'll be for this simple fact: I've been robbed and I want it back. And we'll just stand in the gap with you. Amen. Amen.
I need to share something.
Just one moment.
We've been praying for a young man called Ross who had to have a major operation, and it kept getting postponed because of doctors' strikes and everything. And he finally had the operation last Wednesday, and I've just heard that he's doing so well, he's actually being discharged from hospital today. So I had to share that.
Thank you, Lord. You know, it's important to... We have time. We have another 3 hours. Look, if you're a visitor... No, we don't. I'm just kidding. It's important to share testimony. Why? Because it encourages other people. Because we think God just works for the super special people. You know, the ministers. You know, we hear of testimony after testimony, don't we? And we go, yeah, that's never happened to me. Well, what about the small things? What about the time you just said, Lord, this relationship, will you help me? And he does. We can share that with one another. And what that will do is encourage.